whether we like it or not, whether we appreciate him or not, he is still our president. And we could be lawless and violate laws. Now, we understand that if it's a God-given law, we need to obey God rather than men. But in terms of civil authority, he is our authority. And in our lives, there is also a God, a deity that is God overall, whether one likes it or not. And they get to choose if they want to be lawless or be law-abiding. And there's always consequences to those decisions. In Acts chapter 17, Acts 17 there, verse 24. Acts 17, 24. It says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. So here we see that God is Lord, which means king, a ruler over heaven and earth. He is Lord over all. And so we need his guidance in this life. We want to know, God, what would you have me to do? Guide me, instruct me. So we want to start there. Our need for God's guidance. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Many today say, I'm going to let my heart guide me. I want to tell you that's a mistake. Especially when it's guided apart from the Word of God. In Jeremiah 17 verse 9, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart can lead one astray. It does lead people astray. We need God's authority and not our own hearts, our own understanding. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. It's up to God to direct our paths, to direct our steps. And Isaiah 55, when we compare our thoughts and our heart's desire to God's, we learn from the Word of God that ours pales in comparison to His. That His ways are higher than us and His understanding as well. In Isaiah 55, it says that, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I can't rely on my own think-sos. That may work in earthly life, when I need to apply worldly wisdom. But when we're asking God to guide us, to guide me, I have to put my opinions, my think-sos aside, and rely upon what does the Scripture say. In Psalm 1, verse 1, we learn it's the wise man that will do this very thing. Psalm 1, verse 1, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. So what's the outcome of this man? Well, verse 3, he shall be planted like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Remember we talked about the ideal life this morning? That's it right there. They have God's ideal life. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so though. But they're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And so we see those that are connected to the Word. It's like a tree connected to the water. It's us whose life source is the Word of God. We get to live. But everyone else is like the chaff. He says they blow away and eventually they're destroyed. They do not stand in the judgment. In Psalm 119, oh, the whole 119th Psalm is beautiful in this regard in understanding our need for God's guidance in our life. But I'll just share a portion. Psalm 119, verse 29. Listen to how the psalmist reflects on the need for God's guidance in his life. He says, "Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes." Why? Because men do not keep your law. That's how fully devoted this one was to the word of God. He just wanted to be taught the statutes, be guided by the will of God. He panted for the word of God. And that must be our heart desire as well, for the will and word of God. Man has always been in need for God's guidance, else we don't know what pleases God at all. Right? Think about Adam and Eve for just a moment. If God never gave them, "Don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil," what would they have done? They would have ate of every tree. They would have do whatever what they desire to do. But when God guided them, He said, "Listen, you can eat of every tree except this one. Don't eat of it." Ah, now we know what we can do to be pleasing to God. See, that's what commandments do for us. It establishes a standard by which we might know, what is it that pleases you, God? And then we get to choose if we want to please God or not. Now we run into great trouble when we choose not to please God. We see examples of disobeying God's guidance all over Scripture. And in fact, one of the first ones there in the beginning is with Cain. Think about Cain. When he disobeyed God's guidance, worshipped God in an unpleasing manner, an unpleasing way. Unfortunately, he wasn't the last. There's many others in Scripture, such as Saul here on the chart in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter, not 1, excuse me, chapter 13. Samuel wanted to go to war, fight against the enemy of God's people. And so he thought he'd offer a burnt offering, a peace offering. Verse 9, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and that he might greet him. He'd say, "Wait a second, doesn't sound anything like wrong with the story. It's good to worship God, right?" Yes, but in the way God has guided us. You see, Samuel is the one authorized to offer the sacrifice, not Saul. So when Samuel saw him, verse 11, the first thing he says to him is, "What have you done?" "Well," Saul said, "when I saw the people scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down upon me at Gilgal, and I've not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." You did what? You see, you said something very important there. "I felt compelled." He went by the guidance of his heart. Apart from the will and word of God. "I thought it may be better to worship God than to not." Yes, and it's always better to worship God the way He describes and prescribes. And so, guess what the consequences were? They were deadly. Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue." We might go on to describe another king, Uzzah, in 2 Chronicles 26, 16 through 23. He wanted to burn some incense. Again, to worship God. One problem again, that was for the priest to do and not for the king. Well, guess what? He felt compelled to do it anyway. He would be guided by his heart. And he tried to break through the priest. And when he did, the Bible says that leprosy broke out on his forehead. And he realized something had happened to him. And they pointed it out. And he ran from the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says he died a leper. Rebellion never works out the way one intends. You can think of another ewe name, this being Uzzah. In 2 Samuel 6, maybe you're close by, in 1 Samuel, go to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 and 7. They were transporting the ark on a cart, and the oxen stumbled. It says that at the end of verse 6. Then verse 7. The anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. What was his error? Well, verse 6 says, as they came closer, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it because the oxen had stumbled. Wait a second, you mean he was trying to protect the ark of God from hitting the ground? Yes, that was it. That was his error. Well, that seems well-intentioned. It may have been. But God's guidance said, don't touch it lest you die. And so when he touched it, he did exactly what God said would do, because God was the authority. And so he was struck dead. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, later on, David made a second attempt to bring the ark of God. And he said in verse 13, he says, because we did not the first time, verse 13, for because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. He said, we failed to research the scriptures to understand God's order of transporting the ark. And that cost us greatly. We lost a good man. He died because of that. And so, David recognized the second time, I need God's guidance. We need His authority for what we're trying to do. Without the written record, you and I are hopeless. But thanks to God, we have that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, here's what it says. It says, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. See, without God telling us, we'd be utterly lost. What is it that you approve of? What is it that you disapprove of? He says, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak. And so these things are recorded so that you and I might know the things given by God. Now, we come to a certain junction in Scripture to ask the question, how do we know what portion or what part of Scripture is to guide us? Well, context, context, context. We ask when we're at Scripture, is this Old Testament or is this the New Testament? Now, all the Word of God still applies, but in different ways. The Old Testament applies for our learning. The New Testament applies for our authority, for our guidance. You might say, where does the Scripture say something like that? Well, over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul was explaining that very thing to some early Christians. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, that is the gospel, the faith, the system of truth. Before it came, we were kept under guard by the law. There's the Old Testament. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, listen to this, we are no longer under a tutor. What was the tutor? It was the law, the old law to bring us to Christ. But after faith has come, we're no longer under. That is, under its authority. Now, Romans 15:4 is where it states that we can learn from those things written before. We should. Romans 15:4, it says, for whatever things are written before, were written for our learning. They help us learn. Now let's see if I can illustrate this. What if you saw me building a humongous boat in the backyard? You say, Steve, what are you doing? And I say, well, over there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, it says to make yourself an ark, go for wood. And so I'm doing that very thing. I'm obeying God's word. Well, you might say, I know the Bible says that, but Stephen, you weren't commanded that. And you'd be right, wouldn't you? But does that mean that Genesis chapter 6 and the story of Noah conveys no lessons to be learned today? Of course not. Even though it's not my authority, I learned some lessons. Number one, that God's grace provides a way of escape from condemnation. That God's grace provided the plans for Noah to build the ark. Number two, that man's faith is needed to obey God's gracious plans. And number three, I learned that God expects His plans to be followed. Else, why give any plans at all? So you see, I learned these lessons from the story of Noah, even though I'm not supposed to start a construction project that will last me 100 years in the backyard of my house. That's the concept, where we can gather some learning without it being our authority and guidance today. Now, those examples can be multiplied across the board with other items in the Old Testament. Animal sacrifice. I mean, what would you think if you heard in the back room over there, What is that? Don't worry. It's just Joey, pet lamb. We're going to offer him later tonight. What? Well, yeah, there in the Old Testament, there it says to offer a lamb. Well, that doesn't apply. That's not commanded to you. And again, you'd be right. That was commanded to the Israelites. Same with the burning of incense. Same with building a temple. Or building an ark of the covenant overlaid with gold. Or a veil, a special curtain that would close one's eyes off from that holiest of holies. God wasn't commanding you and I there. Now here's a quick application that applies today. What about instrumental music? You ever thought about that? What about that? You know, guitar or something, or... Well, Stephen, over here, David was... Yes. Who was it? Well, it was David. He was an Israelite, wasn't he? You see, that was commanded to the Israelites. Yes, he was commanded that, but God has not commanded me to do that any more than building an ark in the backyard of my house. Now, the failure to understand this and apply this comes at a great cost, spiritually speaking. It's vitally important to understand this. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Remember the same people that we just read in chapter 3 that Paul was saying were no longer under the tutor, that law? Well, he goes on to then expound. If you go on to try and allow it to be your authority, if you try to be under it still, then you're going to fall away from the faith. And he says that in Galatians 5, verse 4. And he applied that to a very specific thing that was being done. Circumcision. It was a command again to those under the old law. And he says in Galatians 5, 4, if you do that, you become estranged from Christ, severed from Christ, separated from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you've fallen from grace. That's why this is an important thing. Listen, we're not trying to make people feel bad or to make them angry or upset because they do some of these things today, any more so than the person that's building an ark in their backyard. We're just trying to point it out. You're not serving God acceptably by doing that. You're not allowing His law today to guide you. Now, yes, we can learn again from the Old Testament. But when it comes to God's guidance, we must appeal to the authority of Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus even said that. All authority has been given to me, He said, both in heaven and on earth. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Here it says, and He is head of the body, the church. Who's that? That's Christ. He is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. What does that mean? Preeminence. It means that he's first in all things. We consult him. I mean, how insulting that would be. A church built by him, a church of Christ, to consult Moses for what they ought to do. Now he says, I must have the preeminence in all things. In Colossians 3, there, verse 17, same book, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That doesn't just mean you run around saying, I'm doing this in His name, I'm doing this in His name. Because Matthew 7, 21 through 23 shows that some did that and they lost their souls. They were saying they were doing things in Jesus' name, but He didn't authorize it. To do it by His name means to do it by His authority, by His vested power. And so whatever you do, it has to be done by His governance. And can we understand these concepts, these principles? I mean, have you ever had to say to a waiter, excuse me, but the food you delivered to me, I didn't order that. What would you think if they began to smart talk you? Well, it's what you get anyway. Hey, it's what I delivered from my heart. Hey, you know, it was the best that I thought I'd just give you. Well, excuse me, but I didn't order that. Right? Just bring what I asked. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? What if they said, well, you know what, I remember you from the past. And in the past, you asked for that. In the past, you ordered for that. And so I went ahead and brought it for you anyway, regardless of what you ordered today. Excuse me, but I didn't order that, right? And what would you think if they said, oh, too bad, so sad. And here's the bill for it anyway. You got to pay for it. Wow. Let me tell you, that's exactly what people are doing today to God when they tell Him, well, in the past you said this was okay. In the past you did that, and so I'm going to go ahead and deliver it to you today anyway. Regardless if you've guided me or asked me to bring that to you anyway. And here's the bill for it. Excuse me, he'll say, but I didn't order that. In Matthew chapter 17, there's a great lesson that's learned here. And Peter learned it first. When Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with two other holy individuals of the past, Elijah and Moses, those that were representative of the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. And there in Matthew chapter 17, let's just read the account of what takes place here. In verse 1, let's start in verse 2. It says, he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright light, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him! Then the disciples heard it, and they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. You see, God was showing them that there was a transition that was taking place. No longer would there be a time where one would appeal to Moses and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, for their authority and guidance. But rather, it'd be Jesus. This is my Son. This is the one that I want you to hear. And so, that's why 2 John 9 through 11 says what it does. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Moses, no, the doctrine of Christ, has not God. That's why Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you look at the book of Acts, you see that after Pentecost, the apostles did everything in Jesus' name by His authority. They preached in His name, Acts 9:27 through 29. They baptized in His name, Acts 2 and verse 38. They issued commands in His name, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6. They exhorted brethren in His name, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. So yes, while God may have asked one to build the ark in the past, that is not the command today. He may have asked for animal sacrifice or instrumental music in the past, but not today. He wants what His Son wants today. Jesus is the head of the church. Hebrews 1 verse 1 even says that in various times and in various ways God spoke through to the fathers, through the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us through His Son. And we need the Son's guidance today. And that's found in His Word, and in particular, the New Testament. And so that's the lesson for this evening. The next one, Lord willing, next week, we'll go on to further to establish authority. How do we establish exactly what is authorized in service to God today? Again, all of this is a reminder so that we might study to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And we first need to recognize that you and I need this great book every day in our lives. We need its guidance for all that we do. Now, if one merely just wants to know the academia, the facts, yeah, you can learn some interesting tidbits. History's interesting. It's interesting. And you can learn all the Bible history that you want. You can turn on the TV tonight, watch Bible, what is it, AD, after the Bible continues, or whatever that show is, it's on. Oh, it's pretty interesting. It's kind of neat. And you lose your soul in the last day in judgment. Because God wants us to take it beyond just interesting facts. And He wants us to allow it to guide our lives and for it to be our authority. And maybe you're here tonight and you've not done that. Do you understand by the authority of Christ, the apostle said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And if you do that, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because God guided you to that. That's why. Through His Word. And if you're here tonight and you've turned away from the Lord, you can come back to Him tonight if you desire. Following His guidance once again, you repent and pray that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And it will. He's a merciful God and He desires to forgive. But don't delay. Don't delay too long. You never know when death may come for you in that time. It may be tonight. It may be. I heard a story of a young man that he said one day death came for him and he said, no, I need more time. I need warning next time. Give me warning. And this one time death said, okay, I'll give you warning next time. So he gave him another chance. Life went on. Life continued as usual. Later on in life, death came again and said, now's the time. I said, wait, you told me you'd warn me. I did. See, your hair turned gray. Your hands began to shake. Your eyes didn't see as good as it used to see. Your skin became wrinkled. I was warning you all along life's way. Now's the day. Sometimes death comes with warnings and sometimes it doesn't. Are you ready? If today was the day? Think about that while together we stand and while we sing.
Who will follow Jesus standing for the right, holding up His banner?